This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. Now this is episode 73, Expendables 3 from 2014. I'm your host Alex Figueroa and my co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
If you guys are watching this on YouTube, please hit that like button, hit those notification bells so every time we drop reviews, you guys will be notified. And of course, subscribe to the channel and support the channel. And for those of you that are taking us on the go with you guys, whether it's to the gym or to the office, thank you so much. But again, if you're new to that, please search for us on any podcast platform, whether it's Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, any platforms you guys listen to your podcast on, Action Movie Guys, and we will love it. That said, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Expendables 3 from 2014?
It came out in 2014. I haven't seen it since 2014. I saw it at the theater, and that was the last time I saw it.
Yeah, same here. I seen it. The last time I seen it is when we purchased it on Blu-ray. Remember, it came out on Blu-ray first before 4K. Ooh, okay. When I purchased it on Blu-ray, I did see this in the theater once and then one time. So technically twice.
So this is my second time watching it.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen it since the theater. I did a review for it. Actually, 2014 is when I first started like my YouTube reviews, and I had my cousin come in, a female cousin of mine. Come in to do a review, a special review for like a woman's perspective on this like guy action movie. But I also reviewed it, but we never posted the video. So this is technically my first review in the universe of Expendables 3.
Yeah, all right. But you guys know how we do it here on the Action Movie Guys Podcast. We're going to start off with some box office numbers, some Rotten Tomatoes, and then we're going to go right into the movie itself. But let's start it off with some box office numbers from Expendables 3 from 2014. Now, domestic, this movie made $39 million. Ugh, not that good. And then international, $175 million. Not bad. And then for a worldwide total of $214 million on a budget, it's reporting $90 to $100 million. So... Ugh. With that said, that does not look good. It looks like they made their money back, plus DVDs, Blu-rays, and 4K sales. It's not as looking good for a part four.
No, and it's not as good as part two. Part two made a lot.
Yes.
I mean, it did okay, I guess. Well, you know what? I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
That's fine. You know, it did okay. Yeah, but as far as Rotten Tomatoes score, so Expendables 3, is this the lowest one? Expendables 3 has the lowest critical score. It comes in at a massive 32%. Critics, 48% audience. So no one really liked it. I mean, it's almost half of the audience liked it. That's the best I could say about the Expendables 3. Almost half of the audience liked it. But critically, this is the worst one of the three.
Yeah, well, let's find out if we liked it. Watching it for the third time when the movie came out. So let's see if we liked it. We throw out all those scores. Let's see what we score this movie on our rewatch time. So with that said, we all know Nate starts this off with lead character Stallone himself.
Right.
Go ahead, Nate.
Barney Rubble, right? Barney Rubble. Barney Rubble, Sylvester Stallone, and this is worst performance of the three movies. He's oldest in this one. He acts old. This does that thing that I don't like in movies, where they're old. We get it. You don't have to make a ton of jokes about them being old, right? Like, that can't be your go-to character, you know, like, character trait, old. It could be funny, but by the third movie, it's like, okay, we get it. You know, like, you're older. You know, you're more grizzled. And this movie, he's just like... So, as far as a character goes, without this... story or anything, he's like, he annoyed me this whole movie, because, you know, his guy gets shot in the beginning, and then he wants to, like, he's like, forget it, I need a new team. He retires them without even really asking them, pretty much, right? Because he's all sad, because he's so worried, because his guy got shot. So then he's like, I'm gonna find younger people, we could just get rid of them, because who cares? And then, but like, the whole movie, he's just constantly sad about being old and sad about people dying. And this should have been explored and explained in the first movie only. And it kind of was. Remember him and Mickey Rourke?
Yeah.
Like, they're having the conversation. And that's where it should have ended. This as a character, it becomes annoying. This is my least favorite of him in this series. I give him a 2. I never thought it was a great character to begin with. But he's worse in this one than he is in the other two movies.
I kind of agree with you. I did not like him. I thought he wasn't annoying, because I thought Antonio Banderas was way more annoying as a character.
Okay.
Yeah. He was way more annoying. But I think if we look at all this, because in the podcast so far, you guys got 73 episodes. A lot of Stallones up in the air.
63 of them are Sylvester.
Yeah. 63 episodes is Stallone. But I got to say is that this has to be one of the weakest characters that we've seen on screen. And we've seen some bad ones, like the Cobra. I know you didn't like Cobra. I know you didn't like The Specialist, but at least with those movies, we enjoyed
it. The Assassin's guy was terrible.
He was terrible, but I enjoyed that character more than Barney Ross, his character, in part three. He was more, I liked him more. I don't know why, but you're right. In this movie, Stallone took a back turn. I thought his character was going to progress, but he more degressed. If that's even a word, he degressed in terms of character development. I just made up a word, I think.
Regressed.
He's regressed. I degressed him and regressed him at the same time.
I digress.
But other than that, I gave him a 2 also. And that's the lowest we got so far in this franchise of the Expendables. So it's not looking good so far for this franchise. Let's get to main villain Mel Gibson himself.
Stone Banks. What a stupid name. Okay, listen. I love Mel Gibson. I'm a fan. I've always loved Mel Gibson. Do I love every single movie he's in? No, but I like most of them. But I always like him, right? He has a... he could be light, you know, like a little funnier. He could be crazy. He could be grizzled and serious. And I actually like him in this movie. The problem is this whole series... They did this in all the movies. They dropped the ball with the villains because they don't give them enough screen time. They focus on... There's so many characters in these movies, period. Like, the first one and the second one, they have all the Expendables. And you have multiple... Well, the first one especially had multiple villains, right? You had Eric Roberts, and you had Stone Cold Steve Austin, and you had the General.
Yeah.
And then you had, too many. Then the second one, not as many villains, but Van Damme's off the screen for... You know, after he says challenge, he goes away for like an hour. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this one, Mel Gibson, I'll say he's got more screen time than Van Damme in the second movie.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have enough to make a great impact. And I like the character. I think he's like a former expendable. So they're getting personal. He has a personal connection to them. You know what I mean? And he's a good villain. But they just give him, he's shortchanged because he doesn't get a lot of screen time. And when he's there, like the first hour, all he does is like buy and sell art.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this, what is this? When he does action, he's good. I'm torn on my score because I think Mel Gibson gives a good performance and I think the villain's interesting, but they don't do enough. So I'm going to give him a 3.5. I can't give him a 4. He doesn't have enough of like an impact for anything higher. But he's not quite a 3. He's a little better. A 3.5 for me.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. I gave him a 4. Okay. And the reason why I gave him a 4 is because a few reasons. One, I thought he was a way better actor than Jean-Claude Van Damme. I thought he was...
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny, out of the ensemble of the cast that we got here, he was the best acting in the entire cast. Like, he was the only one that was taking it serious at this point, that it looked like. He was believable. When they captured him and he's in the van and he goes, "You better kill me," because I'm like, "Yo, I did," because I was like, "Holy crap!" Like, this dude is gonna rain terror down and he ain't do nothing. But I was like, "Okay, this is pretty cool." It's a generic.
He got GPS plot. Watch.
Yeah, he got a GPS watch. So he could find him. But I agree with you. They needed to give him more time, and I think what would have been more better with Mel Gibson's character is if they started the movie with him part of the Expendables and show how he switched to the bad guys. You know
that'd
what I mean?
Be cool.
Because then you would have saw like, oh, wow. Or he should have been in part 2. And then you would have been like, holy crap. Like, he really turned on them. You could have saw that in 3, how he became a bad guy. But as of right now, I gave him a 4. I think in the entire franchise, Mel Gibson is the best villain in the wrong movie. Yeah. If you understand,
he's the best villain. Yeah, I can agree with that 1,000%.
Yeah, I think he's the best actor villain in the wrong movie. I think if they would have switched it to Van Damme in 3 and him in part 2 would have been the best movie ever made.
He should have been the villain in 1.
Oh, yeah, that could have been 2.
The kick off the movie with a former expendable setting up, you know, his even own team, if you just put him in the Eric, in the Eric Roberts part, let's say, right? Like he's the leader of this thing with this, you know, whatever it is, you know, that movie I don't love, but as far as like the storyline goes, I think he would have worked in any of the three movies. He would have worked in any of the three. He would have been the best villain in any of the three. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. All right, let's get to action scenes. That's your favorite category.
It is, usually, but now we're talking about Expendables 3. you know, listen, this one, what happened? I'm watching it, and I'm like, what happened from the last movie to now? The last one had great action. It really did. And I know they switched directors. And this guy, Patrick Hughes, who directed this, he had done a movie before this. What was it called? Red Hill. And Red Hill was like, this is the movie, you know, Red Hill's the movie he got this movie off of. And it's like a tight little Western, real violent, but like, you know, subtle, kind of quiet. It's not this kind of movie. So I thought it was a weird choice to begin with. And then the action scene, first of all, this is the only one that's PG-13, which is stupid. How are you going to have a rated R first movie, a rated R second movie, and then a PG-13 rated third movie? And you could tell, because even though the people getting shot, and it just seems softer than the first two movies do. You know what I mean? It doesn't hit quite as hard as the last two movies. Also, there's not enough action, in my opinion. Like, the movie starts with an opening action scene where they're, you know, getting Wesley Snipes off the train. It was okay. The action scene right after that's a bit better. But the problem is there's no stakes. I have no idea what they're doing in those scenes. Like, I have no idea what's the mission in that first, like, action scene with Wesley Snipes with them. Other than to show that Mel Gibson's the villain. What the heck is the point? And when there's no point, it kind of makes action not as exciting to watch when you don't know, like, either a goal or what the plan is or something like that. You know what I mean? When it's too random. And then after that, there's a lot of non-action. There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of, let's put this new team together. Let's, you know, like, I don't know. I give it a 3. Some of it's well shot. It looks clean. You know what I mean? Like, I know you mentioned that budget. I guess I could see that. But it's got like the least, I don't know. I gave it a 3. And coming off of 2, which was like, honestly, like elite, this one is way below that. So 3 for me.
Yeah, when it comes into action, I did not like this one at all. There was something weird about this action and nonsense action. Like,
yeah,
like it didn't make sense. Why would you have motorcycle dudes doing motorcycle tricks? Like, it made no sense to me, right? Like, it just felt so off. And then Harrison Ford in the helicopter was so useless.
Yeah.
That was so hard. Like, there were a lot of scenes and action scenes. For me, it was so useless. It was useless action in an action franchise. And you're right. Yeah. 2 was great, right? It was we said it was like the pinnacle. It was the top of the line action movie for action fans. Yeah. This one is just like a Fisher Price version of action for like beginners, like 101.
For kids.
Like, hey kids, you want to be a beginner action junkie? Watch Expendables 3, PG-13.
That's right. There's no blood. Don't
So it doesn't make sense. And I'm like, why? And if you guys are going to make 4, you guys got to revert back to rated R. We'll talk about that in the storyline. But, you know, I want to get the storyline. In terms of action, I gave it a 3. I did not like it, but there was enough action for me to be entertained. But it was
well
useless
shot,
nonsense. Yes, it was.
But it's just not exciting.
Yeah, yeah. If you take out all this motorcycle crap and Harrison Ford's helicopter crap, and I think it could have been a little bit better. But with that said, I gave it a 3. Let's get to
storyline. okay. So this storyline is what I like to call whack. This is a whack storyline. Oh my gosh, we're so old. We're gonna die, and we need to get new, younger people who could die. You know what I mean? Listen to me. The name of this movie is Expendables, and by definition, this means they are killable. These are killable people. They are worth, if they're going on a mission, right? They are being expendable means if you make it, you make it, and if you die, you die. Yeah. This is, by definition, what the team is. For Stallone, who, by the way, in the second movie, that Billy the Kid guy gets killed, right? We don't even know who he is. He's actually young, actually has a future. Stallone didn't retire everybody then, right? He didn't make everybody quit. And then, you know, no, they still did missions. Now, Terry Crews gets shot, right, in the beginning. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, no. I can't see these guys die. I've already got, like, you know, in the airplane, they got like 37 dog tags hanging on the thing. He's like, well, 37 was my limit. I can't see 38 people die. No way. So what does he do? He gets Kelsey Grammer on the phone, which, by the way, I didn't mention it. This one has the best cast, I think. Oh, as far as like really, this one has like a lot of good actors in it. It still sucks, but it has a lot of good actors in it. But he gets Kelsey Grammer on the phone and he's like, hey, man, get me some kids. Give me a couple kids. I don't care. If they die, who cares, right? It's backwards thinking to me. I never understood it even the first time I saw it. I was like, nah, bro, let the old people die. If they're willing to and they're the best for the mission, then if they die, you're expendable, right?
Yeah.
Why are you going to make a bunch of younger people who have a bright future ahead of them? Why are you okay with them getting killed? And then he's not, because then they get captured and he's all broken up like, oh my gosh, they're captured. What am I gonna like? Yeah. Make up your mind, bro. I hate the storyline in this movie. The only element I like is Mel Gibson being a former, you know, like I like that. I like the villain, you know, area. Other than that, I hate it. It's a two.
Mm. You know what? I think I got some innate in me because I gave this thing a one. I did Ooh. Not like. Yeah, I did the Nate on this one.
Okay.
I did not Fair like enough. The storyline. The storyline yeah. was horrible. They wasted the talents of Mel Gibson in this movie. First of all, that fight scene was so fast between him and Mel Gibson just to rush to get out this building. I said, you got to be kidding me. I mean, at least Van Damme had a few minutes of like getting whooping, right?
A little bit,
he got his ass whooped. This one, Mel Gibson was super fast. It was like, oh my God, the building starts falling. And I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. Okay, one, out the way. Two, the young people are god-awful actors. Made no damn sense. I did not like them at all. Three, the sequences with motorcycles and Harrison Ford, useless. Useless. Harrison Ford was useless. I mean, great actor. I love Harrison Ford. We all love him. Useless character in an Expendables movie. You're right. Great cast. But again, this is something that we talked about in part two, the second episode of this movie, is when you have an ensemble close to 40 people, it becomes like the Avengers. Like, you're going to have to give everyone screen time. And it's so hard because you're going to be focusing on the ones that people are there to see, whether it's Stallone, Jason Statham. But then you got the side characters that it sucks, but it's like, why are you there? Like, we don't, it makes no sense. You had all these characters. And it is what it is. You understand what I mean? Like, it just made no sense. He took away a lot of screen time from, like, Randy Couture.
I'd rather watch Jason Statham than any of those kids. Any of the new people.
Yeah.
Any of them.
I agree. I think they should have just been the original cast members going after Mel. Wesley Snipes was great. Yeah, that was cool.
I liked him in it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, if it was them rescuing Wesley Snipes and he's part of them again, that's fine because you could bring up history like they did with the knives and who's better, him or Jason Statham. Like, I like all that. I was like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. But the fact is that now you added him. So it's already an ensemble of 10. Then you added another 3 or 4 new guys. That's 14. Then you add Harrison Ford from the blue. That's 15. Then you got Kelsey Grammer, 16. Then you got, you know, Schwarzenegger, whoever, you know. Then you got him
randomly
and then,
deciding when he wants to help and stuff.
Yeah, you got him and with Jet Li. And then so I'm like, yo, this is way too many characters for an action movie. I loved it when it was just that second movie had the elements. We had the three biggest actors in the world together, whether it's Bruce Willis, Arnold. Then you still had the original Expendables. That's what I loved about it. This movie's absolute garbage. I'm never going to watch this movie again. I'm going to be really honest. I gave this shit a whopping one. I'm sorry with that. But let's get to your overall. What do you give this as your overall?
What kind of crazy universe is it where Bruce Willis absolutely is way better than Harrison Ford? Like, you know what I mean? Like, within a movie universe, he fit better. He just fit better. What the heck? You couldn't give him $13 extra to show up and not pay Harrison Ford. And, like, give me Bruce Willis back.
And it's funny because I feel like they brought him in to give the nod of Jack Ryan, right? If you really think about it, he's not known as an action star. We all know that he's not an action star. He just played Han Solo, Indiana Jones, and Jack Ryan. Everyone knows him as Jack Ryan. So they brought him in as an analyst, which he was as Jack Ryan. He's an analyst. So it was kind of cute, but I'm like, he's useless. Jack Ryan was useless. Too.
He also was bored the whole movie.
They all look bored.
I was bored. So, listen, overall, this movie, I give it a 2. This is hands down the worst. You know what? This is when I was watching it, I was like, dang, bro. It's no wonder I haven't watched this since the theater. Mm. I hated it at the theater. I didn't like it then. And I sure don't like it now. It didn't age any better. Ronda Rousey is what's the word? Like, I don't want to watch her so bad.
Yeah.
She's like nuclear. She's like X-Pac. You know the wrestling term when you talk about X-Pac heat? Where it's like, just go away. Get off the screen. She is like X-Pac in this movie. Anytime she's on the screen, I want her to go off of the screen. Get away from it. And every time she talks, I want to mute it. Like, she is a horrible. She's so bad.
Yeah.
So she's awful. All the kids are bad. Kellen Lutz, like, this guy's a goober. I don't like him. No, I like the addition of Wesley Snipes. I thought that was cool. I like Mel Gibson. But I don't have a lot that I like. I give it a 2. It's not good.
Well, you know what? I'm rolling on the train, baby. I'm giving this a whopping 1. It's not good. It's not a good movie. I mean, I give stinkers some good score. I'm generous out when it comes to overall, but I can't. Like, it's really bad for me to give this one an actual good score. Like, even a 2 or 3, I can't. It's not even entertainable. Like, it just starts to lose itself. Like, you shut your mind off. And even doing that, you feel like you're in an asylum of bad action. You're like, oh, this is horrible.
You're right.
But look, with that said, what is your total score?
Okay, for me, that comes out to a 12.5 out of a 25. Look, it's well shot. I try to always end on a positive note. It's well shot. Mel Gibson's cool. He's a good actor. He's a good villain. Solid villain. Wesley Snipes is back. He paid his taxes when they let him back on movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got. That's all my positive. So I didn't like it. 12.5 out of 25.
Yeah. I gave it an 11 due to action. Main, you know, the villain. It was great. Stallone looked like sleepy Stallone. Like Nate always says, that's his new code word when it's bad. Yeah.
That's right.
Storyline was god awful. Overall, it's not a good movie. Would you want to see an Expendables 4? I will say absolutely not.
Hell no, I don't. I don't want to see Expendables 4. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good also. But Nate, you know what to do.
Yes, so that is the Expendables 3. Hopefully the last Expendables anyone will ever have to see. And of course, coming up, we got a couple of more good reviews for you. Next episode, we will be tackling another patron-requested movie. Stephanie, our patron Stephanie, you can find her on YouTube at I'll Buy the Popcorn. She requested Cradle to the Grave, so this should be a lot of fun. Yeah. We're going to be reviewing that. And then starting next week, our next series, we will be reviewing Rush Hour, starring the legendary Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker, also legendary in his own right. Mm-hmm. So that'll be our next 2 episodes.
Yes, look, with that said, you know what to do. If you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews, anything Action Movie Guys. All you have to do is find us on Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast. We are currently working on a website, which is going to be actually awesome and interactive. So stay tuned for that. And of course, on Twitter on AMG Podcast. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.